All right. Well, let's get into it. I'm gonna. In some ways, this is gonna be more like my youth group days. Okay, when I was youth pastor for 10 years. So that means I expect some participation from you. Okay, as we're gonna look at God's word together today, we're gonna be looking at right priorities for daily living. Okay, last night we kind of quickly broke down Psalm 1. We seen that there's two paths: one the way of wickedness, and the way of righteousness. And we want to be people who not just know about the truth, but people who actually live out the truth. One of the things I was thinking about the message for today is that I think if you're like me, one of the biggest wrestlings is you know the things you ought to do, but you wind up not doing them, right? Anybody relate to that? Okay? And, you know, so it's a little bit of a Romans 7 thing, Paul saying, hey, why do I, the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. You know, Lord, help me, basically, is he saying. And so I want us just to think about, okay, so why is it that we, you know, I think if you're, you know the right answer, right? What do you want for your life? I want to be fruitful. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I want love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, love, self-control in my life. I want to see that fruit on a daily basis in my interactions with others. I want to be salt and light for his name. I want to be growing in my love and knowledge of him. And we're like, check, check, check. Like, yeah, that's my desire. That's what I want as a child of God. And yet, we fall short. So what are some of the reasons that we fall short? Well, I came up with three different things. You maybe could come up with more, but let's just start with this. We're easily distracted, right? We're easily distracted. So you have these goals, these objectives in your life, but there's distractions that come into your life. Life was so easy when it was Larry's day, right? No TV, right? Like no internet. And obviously I'm having a little fun here, but there is a reality that right now we can be more distracted than ever before, right? Somebody sent me this video of a cat, whatever, right? Okay, so we're like, oh, let's look at the video of the cat. And the next thing you know, it's an hour later, right? It wasn't an hour-long cat video. It was 30 seconds, but then there were 10 other cat videos that you should check out, right? And click, 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 and you're just like, you know, and all of a sudden you look up and it's an hour later. I'm just going to go on my phone, quickly text somebody. How does that go, right? And I'm just going to check, who's in the lineup tonight? Are the Oilers going to go with their normal lines? I just got to check that. What's happening in Israel? Oh, yeah, I'm going to check that. And then what's going on? Like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, just so easily distracted, and we all have our things, okay? Maybe, like, I don't even have a smartphone, okay? But I bet you have some things that you get easily distracted by, okay? So that's a problem. How are we going to overcome that? Another reason why our desire and what we actually do doesn't match up is that we are easily deceived. This morning, we're going to look at the book of Jude. Okay, the book of Jude, and in that book, you see that from the beginning of time, right, from the beginning of the church till now, there have been people coming in and teaching us things in churches that ought not to be taught, right? It's not a 2024 problem. We think it is, like, oh, the church is so bad now. It's always been bad. Okay, and right from the beginning, there's these been warnings like, listen, there are people who are going to come in and try to deceive you. They're going to maybe flip into Jude right now. I want you to look at verse 3. In verse 3, it tells us that we need to contend for the faith. To contend for the faith, it means to make a strenuous or labored effort in someone or something. Right? So we need to make this strenuous effort. If you're going to live out the faith that you want to live out, that will require great effort on your behalf, okay? It's not just something you sit back and like, you know, let go, let God. Anybody ever heard that? Let go, let God. Well, it sounds good, right? It sounds like you're being humble, but it also can mean that you're doing nothing, Okay, and in here it says we need to have a strenuous effort. And then from like 3 right down to verse 19, he starts talking about all these different attacks that come against the church. He begins by saying like there's these people come in and they want to pervert the grace of God and tell you to indulge in sensuality. I mean, that's the message of today. You know, just kind of do whatever you want. God will forgive you. He's a God of grace, right? So just kind of do what you want. And then just, you know, the idea of lordship over you, like that's not, you know, God wants you to be happy. Do you know that? God wants you to be happy. Again, these things sound good, right? Well, it's, yeah, I think God wants me to be happy. I mean, he doesn't want me to be sad, right? Like, right? Like, so we just start kind of going off these trails. And so these people come in and they teach a different kind of message. I want to just highlight, what kinds of people are these? Verse 4, these people are ungodly, morally perverted, deny Christ. Verse 8, they defile the flesh, they're rebellious, they revile holy angels. Verse 10, they're dreamers, ignorant, corrupted. Verse 16, they're grumblers, fault finders, self-seeking, arrogant speakers, flatterers. Verse 18, they're mockers. Verse 19, they cause division, they're worldly minded, and they're without the Spirit. These are the kind of people you need to watch out for. Out there? No, even within the church, right? And so we have to be continually asking ourselves, are the things that we're putting into our minds actually of God, or are we being deceived by these kind of folks? And with the distraction field, you can listen to sermons 24/7. You can listen to podcasts 24/7. You can, you know, there is so much information available to us now. And sometimes we're not being discerning in who we're listening to. And as a result of that, we start kind of going astray. I just heard of a pastor that, you know, really solid when he was going into the pastorate and like he's not solid right now. He's not doing well. And the only thing I can attribute that to are the people that he's been allowing himself to be influenced by, right? And a lot of angry podcasts, and has led him down a path that he ought not to have been led down. So we have to be careful. If we want to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, we have to be careful that we're not deceived. And then lastly, so we got distracted, we got deceived, and then the last one I came up with, do you want to be duped? Okay? What do you mean by that? Okay, so duped is this. I say I desire these things, but if I'm really being honest with myself, I don't really desire these things. The cost is a little bit too high. I want to be a good Christian, but I don't want to put in all the effort in order to do that. And so if we're to think about our categories on a daily basis, we have the musts, and then we have the have-tos, okay? So what are some things, now this is where you come in, okay, so what are the things that you must do as a believer on a daily basis? What are some things you must do? Okay, go. Give me some. Okay, sorry, what was that? Okay, we have to abide. What does that mean? Abide. What's that? Okay, rest and trust in the Lord, okay? Pray. Devotions. Read scripture. Meditate. Like kind of, kind of cross your legs and like, yeah, that, yeah, okay. So like thinking, wrestling with the scriptures, okay, very good. Die to self. I need to die to self. Love God. Worship. Take up your cross. What's that? Repent. What's that? Humble ourselves. Worship. What's that? Doing good to others. Walk in the Spirit. Casting your cares. Sorry? Being dependent on the Lord. Okay, these are all amazing. Are you guys communists? Anybody going to work? Okay, you got to work, right? I mean, these are all good things, but I think you might have to go to work at some point. Okay, so okay, I'm trying to, okay, I'm having a little bit of fun here. Okay, but I want us to recognize these are all really good things and you guys are nailing it. But I have to get up on Monday morning and I got to go to work. That's a must. It's another on my must list. It sounds less spiritual, but I have to do it. It's how God has designed things. I need to work that I might eat. Okay, so that's another one. Anything else in that category that you think of that you might have to do? Sleep. Amen. Okay. Eat. Breathe. Remember, breathe. Okay. Taking care of our families, our homes. What's that? Drink coffee. Amen. That is a must. If you're not doing the other thing, which is sleep and drink water. Okay. Drink water. Okay. So, but I want us to, okay, are we seeing, we're kind of expanding the idea. Okay. Now I want us to think about, okay, so if those are the musts, what are some of the I want to's in my life? So if we think about I must and then I want to, what are some of the want to's that we have that may or may not be bad? Exercise. Okay, I want to exercise. Okay. I'm sorry. Relax. Sleep again. Okay. Just for fun. I just like to sleep for fun. Okay, we want to be lazy. Okay. I'm sorry. Read books. Play golf. Okay. Watch the Oilers. Must have to. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Recreation, right? Recreation, go on trips, camping. Okay. So is that? Okay. Well, there. Okay. There's part of the rub, right? Okay. Is discipleship in the have to in my life or is it in the must category? Okay, it's a heart thing. How do I speed these things? So I'm kind of bringing these things out because I think if we're being honest, a lot of have-tos replace the musts in our lives and we never get to the musts. Does that make sense? So there are many things coming against us as we seek to live for the Lord. And so if we want to be trees planted by streams of water, I want us to look at Jude here. We're going to be looking at verses 20 and 21. And there's four priorities for a prosperous life. Okay? Four priorities for a prosperous life. And what I mean by that, it's not that you're going to have a bunch of money and you're going to have perfect health, but you're going to live the life that God intends for you. You're going to walk in His way. So four priorities. Let me pray for us one more time, and then we're going to get into it. Lord God, we're so thankful for your love, for your faithfulness to us. And God, as we think about what we know to be true, and I'm so thankful for these, your children, who they don't need to be taught what is the things that they need to do. But God, we think clearly we all need help in prioritizing things in our life. And so God, we pray. As we think about these things this morning, would you lead us? Would you guide us? Would you help us to see the areas where we're falling short? And would you then, God, help us, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, to live the life that would be like that tree planted by streams of water on a daily basis? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read Jude 20, 21, and then we're going to break it down together. So it says, but you, okay, so why the contrast? He's just talked about from verses 3 through 19. Here's all the, sorry, 4 through 19. Here's all the people who are coming against you. But you, in contrast, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So four priorities for a prosperous life. First, we need deliberate growth. Deliberate growth. We see this in verse 20. But you, again, contrast, beloved, he loves them. He loves them. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Now, all of the participles and the verbs here are in the present tense. There is this idea, this is something you're supposed to be doing on a daily basis. This is to be your habitual lifestyle, day in, day out, do these things, right? So these are all going to fall into the must-do category. And he's saying, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. So what does that mean? Most holy faith. Is that my faith? Or objectively, what I'm putting my faith in? Or is it my subjective faith? My faith, right? So you understand the difference between objective, subjective. Which one is it? Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. What do you think? Objective. What's the key word as to why it might be objective? Holy. Okay, thank you. Okay, we would like to think our faith is holy. We're striving to have holy faith, but our faith is based on the one who is holy. In fact, it said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so we're to build ourselves up in that faith. We're to build ourselves up in Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says this, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so our whole faith is based not only on religion, it is based on a person, Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament pointing forward to him, and all the New Testament pointing back to him and showing that he is the culmination of life itself. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Hebrews says this, the faith which believers build upon is not an abstract doctrinal system, but the Spirit-formulated message of the holy character and redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Only a faith resulting in a living relationship with the living Lord Jesus will affect spiritual growth, right? So if we're going to grow, we need to grow in our knowledge of him. If we're to be built up, we must be built up in him. And so how do we build up our most holy faith? Acts 20:32. And again, I just encourage you to write these things down as we always do on a Sunday morning. And then just look up for yourself later. But Acts 20:32. Luke says this, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. If we're to be built up, we must submit to the word of his grace. We must submit to the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If we are to do what God would want us to do, if we're to be built up in our most holy faith, we must know the scriptures. Anybody a builder here? Okay, one. Okay, we have one builder. I would think, because I'm not a builder, if I want to build something that's going to last, I might want to have a plan. Anybody think that might be a good start? Right? Not just like, I'm just going to go to Home Depot, grab some lumber, some nails, and just start pounding. Right? Like, you'd want a plan. Okay, what are we building? Right? And so you need a plan, and so it is with our study of the Word of God. You need a plan. Okay? Like you just kind of waking up every morning and saying, I'm just going to flip it open and see what happens. That won't last long, right? You'll fail. I know that from only like 40 plus years of experience. When I don't have a plan, daily Bible reading doesn't happen. Okay, so you have a plan. Do you have to have the same plan For every decade of your life, you do not need the same plan. I've used all kinds of different plans over the last 40-some years, right? So you need a plan, though. Secondly, it's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of hard work. Some of you are special, and you like to get up early in the morning, okay? And that's a special gift, okay? Others of us will wrestle a little bit more with that. But if you want to have quiet time with the Lord, it will require you getting up early, more times than not. Maybe you have an exceptional home and you could somehow do that at night. But if you don't start your day with that, if again, I'm just telling you a personal testimony here, it doesn't happen, right? Oh, maybe I'll do it in the afternoon today. Does it ever happen in the afternoon? Never, okay? I'm just being honest. Okay, so you gotta start your day. It's going to take some hard work, but it's worth it, right? So same too with building a building, right? It's going to take some intentionality. It's going to take some hard work to get everything together, to think through the plan. If we were building a brick building, okay, which was kind of funny because I actually was in charge of some teams who were supposed to build brick buildings, okay? But so I knew a few things, okay? But it was like, okay, one brick after another, okay? Intentionality, continue on it. It takes time building up, doesn't it? There are no shortcuts to building a building. Now, again, I shared on some of these missions teams, we were building buildings. And I remember our team was doing pretty good, but we were working alongside another team who didn't have a builder. We had a builder who was kind of in charge. And they were just cruising. That wall was going up fast. And what you've seen is that as the more they built, the more of a slant that wall had. Okay? And so it can be when we are trying to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. If you just think it's going to be rapid, it's going to be quick, you can get caught up on other things. Going back to that second warning, that deception. I'm just going to listen to a bunch of really good podcasts. I'll do that instead of reading the Bible. I think that'll be better for me. These guys have studied. Who am I to say they're wrong, right? That could be the worst plan you could do. And then we need, right? We need the right materials. If your building is going to be what it needs to be, you need the right materials. And this, it all begins with this book here, okay? Or a MacArthur Study Bible. Okay, actually, I'm joking. Okay. The Bible, okay? Even John MacArthur could be wrong. Is that possible? It is possible, okay? So we start with the Word of God, and then because God is gracious and he gives us pastors and teachers and people who study a lot, then we can go to them. But we must start with the Word of God for our material. Then we do it, okay? We begin with the knowledge. The knowledge isn't enough. James chapter 1 says, so then be not just hearers of the word, but doers as well, right? Jesus said this in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Let me just read these things, and then you can write them down for yourself. But Matthew 7, 24 to 27, he just preached the best sermon ever, right? The Sermon on the Mount. And then he says this at the end, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so as we think about, okay, I've been daily in the Word. I understand I must be built up in the most holy faith. But if it's just a Bible study and it doesn't have any impact on your 9-to-5 when you're at work, it doesn't have any impact on your parenting, doesn't have any impact on the trials that you're going through, then you're doing it wrong. You are a fool it just says here, right? The foolish man who built his house on the sand. And what I love about this group, you guys have all the right answers, right? You do. You know what you ought to do. The question is, are we then doing it? In your parenting, if it's not gospel saturated, then you're doing it wrongly. If you're not showing your kids, hey, that's what you did was wrong, not just because I said it, but because this is what God's word says. And when you do that, it's sin. And so what God tells us is that we need to repent of our sin and then trust in his ways and walk in his ways. If you're not doing that, then you're falling short. And so we must be people that walk according to the word. Now, somebody else probably said this, and I am getting to the age where I forget just about everything. So, but I thought this is the way to think about it. No, N-O, Bible, N-O, direction. You got no Bible, you got no direction. But you know the Bible, K-N-O-W, then you know direction, K-N-O-W, right? So if you want direction every day, how am I supposed to live, then you must know K-N-O-W, the Bible, okay? So that's got to be a must every day. Secondly, divine prayer. Divine prayer. Praying, he says, in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. In other words, what? Not a man-centered prayer. Lots of people say they pray. I mean, even unbelievers, right? I pray. Who are you praying to? Okay, but that's another topic. Okay, but we pray as the people of God in the Holy Spirit. He leads us and guides us. And again, praying, present tense, habitual, continual. In case we didn't catch it in this verse, Ephesians 6:18 says that we're to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're to pray without ceasing. Right? This is to be our lives. And so that clearly is more than just my quiet time in the morning. It is walking throughout my day continually with the Lord, knowing he is with me. As you pull into the parking lot at work, God help me. I need your help today. If you don't help me, God, I will fail. I admit that, Lord. I will get angry when I ought not to get angry. I will say things I ought not to say. I'll see my coworkers as the enemy rather than people that you love. God, help me. As you come home, God, help me to shepherd my family. If you're not with me, I will fail. Like continually, all through your day, you see the sunset, the Canadian sunset, okay? And the automatic should be, God, I praise you. You are awesome in all your ways. You are the great creator, but you're also the great sustainer, right? All through our days, we are praying to him. And what I love about this is it reminds us that we are to pray in the Spirit. It's not just something that we kind of make up on our own. He is empowering us and helping us. If we think about this praying continually, there's this commentator, Austin, he says this, the Christian prays as he lives and lives as he prays. That's a great way of thinking about it, right? It's not just something, this side thing I do every now and then. It is my life. The Christian prays as he lives and lives as he prays. But the Spirit of God helps us. He helps us to pray that which we ought to pray. And one of the fundamental ways he does that is by reminding us of what the scriptures say. You see how these things go together. If I don't know the scriptures, I'm praying for things I ought not to pray for. Like, God, I just pray that I would win the lottery. I just, you know, I'm gonna give money to the church. It'll be so good. How many people think that's a good prayer? Sounds good, right? We're going to give the money to the church. But what does the Bible say over and over and over again about rich people? It's hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? Not impossible, but it's hard. So the worst thing that could happen to you is for you to become rich. You could forget God and fall away, right? So we want what God wants rather than what we want, right? So that's what the Spirit does. He leads us and helps us to do that. The Spirit helps us to pray in such a way that we want to see His kingdom come and His will to be done and not our own will. Thinking about the posture of prayer and thinking about this, my will versus His will, it takes humility. It takes His humility. Luke 18 says this, Luke 18, verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Amen. Okay? So the focus clearly in this prayer is who? Himself. Wow. Look at how amazing I am. Thank you, Lord. Right? But then the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you look in the Greek, it would be better translated, be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner. He sees his sin and how he is fallen so short of God's commands. And Jesus says of these two men, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And so as we come to the Lord in prayer, we come so humbly. We don't march in and demand of the king. We come in humbly before him and saying, Lord, thank you so much that I have this privilege to come in before you. I know I don't deserve it, but Lord, you've made me your child. You've made me your servant. And so now I come with these requests. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your will being done in my life. And I know here's the areas I'm falling short. I need your help. God, here are the things that I recognize, and it's a long list, that unless, Lord, you do it, I can't. And so, Lord, I'm coming to you humbly. Hebrews says this, and the Holy Spirit marks the sphere of praying as if immersed in the Holy Spirit and shut off from the world's evil. The picture is parallel to Romans 8, 26 and 27, where Paul portrays the Holy Spirit as prompting, purifying, and directing prayer. And that's what we need. We need the Spirit to lead us. So even in our prayers, we're just saying, God, help me. Holy Spirit, help me to pray that which I ought to pray. And what I love in Romans 8:27 is that he tells us he'll do it, right? And so we come to him asking for that. Kistenmacher says this, the Spirit takes our feeble prayers and perfects and presents them to God the Father. Prayer is a must if we are to be faithful to God. None of this independent, I can do it kind of mentality. We must be a people of prayer. How's your prayer life going? Is it on life support? Or by God's grace, are you growing in this? For too many of us, it's in life support. But if we want to be trees planted by water, then God's going to continue. Here's what he does to help us grow in prayer. He just throws a piano on your back and says, now can I help you? Can I help you out now? Right? We wonder why trials come into our life. It's because he wants us to start crying out to him. Right? And so he is so good to help us with that. And so let's be people of prayer. Last night I just mentioned, sometimes we're like, I'm not sure what to do on a daily basis. The key is prayer. Anybody think that Jesus ever went to bed at night and like, I totally should have done that differently? man, that I lots of regrets for my day. Like, I should have done this instead of that. Like, oh, man. Did he ever think that way as he went to bed at night? Does anyone ever so what was the difference? Well, he's Jesus. Well, he was the Son of God. Like, that's why. Well, he was, and he is. But what do we see him doing continually? Praying, getting up early in the morning to pray, staying up late at night to pray, because his whole desire is to do the will of the Father. He was fully in the flesh as well. And so, pray. If you want to know what to say yes to and what to say no to, then you must pray. One author wrote this: Jesus' prayerful waiting for God's instructions freed him from the tyranny of the urgent. It gave him a sense of direction, set a steady pace, and enabled him to do every task God assigned. So as he's on the cross, he says, "It is finished." He did everything that the Father desired him to do. And I know that's our hearts, right? As you sit here right now, you can say, that's my desire. I want to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to do what I want to do. Then pray. We must pray. Anybody get tired of praying? Okay, 3, 4, still with me, 5. Okay, so we need each other. Okay? No more talking about praying. Praying. Praying with one another. Like, we could... Our church would be great. We could do a Bible study on prayer every week. We are so good at our Bible studies. But let's pray. Let's pray. If you lack knowledge in prayer, then study. But I don't know that that's a problem with our group. Okay? So we need to just pray. We just need to pray. And I want to just urge us, God, help us to do this. And as we learned last week, sometimes your arms are down and you're just so tired, then invite a brother and sister to come alongside you and help lift your arms up so you can continue to pray. Okay, so this is in the must category. This isn't like I'd like to. This is in the must. And then, thirdly, these last two are more brief. If you're like, oh, are we going to be done before lunch? So, 4 priorities for prosperous life: deliberate growth, divine prayer, determined obedience. And there really is an overflow of the first two. If you're not in the Word, if you're not in prayer, then good luck with this one. We need determined obedience. That means, and so what he says here in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Interesting way of putting it, right? What does that mean? Does it mean that I need to keep loving God? Or does it mean keep being in a place where God's love would be upon me? What do you guys think? This is the second one. It's actually in the second one. But didn't Paul say in Romans 8 that nothing and no one could take me away from his love? That's interesting. So what is being said here? Well, God does love his kids, but I can be either under blessing or I can be under discipline. Okay? We got a few younger crowd here in the front row. You guys like discipline? Love it. Okay? Okay? That's right. Hebrews 12 tells us that it's unpleasant, right? It's hard. Like, true discipline is hard. Like, I would really like to be doing something different than having this in my life right now, right? But God loves us and puts us under discipline. But he's saying, why not avoid that? Why not rather instead live under my protection and care and experience my blessing in your life? And once is this: God's love is a protecting sphere where one is safe from all that can harm, fate and demons and all evil powers. Now, John 15, John puts it like this: as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's about obedience. If we walk in obedience and keep the commandments of the Lord, then we will abide in his love. If not, then we will experience discipline. And we will also experience the consequences of our sin. choose to sin, choose to suffer, right? Like if we're not walking in his ways, then we should not expect blessing in our lives. I love what Larry was saying about, you know, this lie that Satan continually tells people, like, oh, you know, if you follow God's word, your life's going to be miserable. You know, you're not going to enjoy life as you ought to live life. You know, it's a lie. God's word is good. Everything that he tells us to do is good. And it provides life for us. It gives us the best possible life that we could live here on this earth is by living according to this book. Sometimes those of us are a little bit more conservative. We kind of think, you know, there is no blessing in following the Lord, right? Well, we're not going to get rich, and we're not going to avoid, you know, getting sick, so, you know. Well, but there's still blessing, okay? There's still blessing in following him. You get to know him. You get to be in his presence on a daily basis. Are you walking in the love of the Lord? Are you experiencing the joy of being in fellowship with him? There are many times when our faith is shaken simply because we've been walking in disobedience. We're busy questioning the Lord when ultimately it is because of our disobedience we're in the place we're in. Right? A Christian cheats on his taxes and gets caught and is like, why is God doing this to me? God did not do that to you. You did it to you, right? You're experiencing the consequences now on having to pay back the government when you cheated them, right? And somebody steps out of God's will when it comes to sexuality and they experience the suffering as a result of that. Like, oh, God's so against me. He's not against you. He's for you. But now you're experiencing the consequences of your sin. You're lazy at work and you lose your job. Oh, what happened? You were lazy. You walked outside of what God's word tells you to do, and now you're experiencing the consequences of that. God is gracious, he will forgive us, and he will help us, but let us walk in his ways so that we might prosper. Just this last summer, Galatians 5, thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. Who wants more of these things in their life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you want that in your life, then you must walk in obedience. If you want to be ready to serve the King at every moment, then walk according to his ways. You don't want him to be in this position where like, oh, I could really be a witness right now, but I'm doing this, so I can't now. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right? So always being ready to do the will of the King. All right, so we need determined obedience. And then lastly, we need definite hope. We need definite hope. It says this, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. This idea is that I have this continual expectancy that the mercy that I have received is going to be now fulfilled in eternal life. Jesus is coming back at any moment. Do you believe that? He's told you that. He's told you to always be ready for his return. In Titus 2, verses 11 through 13, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This waiting is not a passive one. It's an active one. It is living according to his ways, continually with one eye on the sky. Thinking about the fact that at any moment, he could return. At any moment, we could enter eternity. This is the reality for every single person. Over 150,000 people die every day on this earth. 150,000 today
will go into eternity.
How often do we think about this? How often do we think about the eternal fate of those people around us? The Bible is telling us we ought to be thinking about it often, continually. For us, it spurs us on. Jesus may come back today. So, if we knew that he's coming back at 7 o'clock tonight, what would you do today? What would you do? It won't matter. It won't matter. We will not watch the Oilers. I probably still watch the, okay. I'm joking. We're all going up together. You'd worship. Anything else you do today? Would you watch your tongue? Would you watch your mind as to what you're thinking about? What's that? I go find an unbeliever, grab him by the arms, say, Jesus is coming, you're coming with us. Okay, I'm not going to let go until you you're coming. Yeah, we'd want to go tell as many people as we can. Anything else you'd do if you knew he was coming back tonight? Maybe we'd tell a few people that you love him. You care for them. So thankful for them. Anything else you'd do? Yeah. All of a sudden, those seeking forgiveness with the Lord, but also seeking forgiveness with one another. Maybe that petty argument you had last night really wasn't that big of a deal. This is what all the authors are talking about when they talk about living in the light of the fact that Christ is coming back soon. This is the reality. Like when we sit here and we think about it now, we're like, oh yeah. This is, but are we living that way? Right? This is the key. And so we need to be these kind of people and to the point that we'd go find an unbeliever. This is what Jude says, verse 22. Have mercy on those who have doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. In other words, you're going and you're snatching people out of the fires of hell. This is the picture. This is what your goal would be in light of the mercy that I've received. I want to go tell as many people as possible about the mercy that they could receive if they would just repent of their sins. Judgment is coming. This is the message that we need to have as we go out from this place. For the believer, keep hanging on. For these sufferings, they're not worth comparing to the glory that is about to be revealed. He's coming soon. To the unbeliever, God is coming soon and he will judge every sin. And what that means is that you would spend an eternity in hell. But can I tell you, there's hope in the gospel. Jesus Christ has come that you might not have to die. That you would not have to suffer that wrath. Instead, he took the wrath for you. And so God, help us have one eye on the sky as we go through our days. This must be in our must list. Because if not, what happens is this: we get caught up in all the temporary garbage of life. Right? I've been joking about the Oilers. Who cares about the Oilers? Right? That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Things of eternity matter. And so, start with the musts in your life. Start with the musts in your life on a daily basis. If we're to have a life that will actually make a change in our lives, if we want to be those trees planted by streams of water, then we need deliberate growth, we need divine prayer, we need determined obedience, we need definite hope. Amen. Psalm 31 says this, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Let me pray. Lord, we love you. So thankful for your faithfulness to us, God. God, we're asking, Lord, that you would help us to live these kind of lives. God, as families, that we would ensure that these things are happening on a daily basis. Time in the Word, time in prayer, walking in obedience, keeping one eye on the sky, keeping in mind, Lord, that eternity awaits us all, that at any moment we could be entering eternity as Christ returns. So God, help us. Help us. Lord, we can't do this on our own. Lord, we're so thankful that this is your desire for us, and that, Lord, as we submit to you, Lord, this would be the pattern of our lives. So God, spur us on for your glory, for your honor, we pray in Jesus' name.